When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Speaking Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Flemington Car and Truck Country. Best car buying experience ever online at Flemington.com. Award-winning House of Cupcakes, HouseofCupcakes.com, and Casa Gennaro's. Reservations, call 609-683-1212.
And welcome back to Movie and a Dinner. Not dinner and a movie.
Well, we do the movie first.
We do the movie first, and then we have dinner. Bill is right, technically.
Technically, that's right.
A movie and a dinner.
I love the name.
Chris is already breaking silverware. We're having a Jewish wedding here. My name is Jay Black. I'm a comedian. I come to the podcast with my wife, Christina Black, who is, I guess, technically a comedian. You've been on
stage. I'm a teacher who's been on stage once, so yes, technically.
You have more credits than most people that call themselves comedians. And what we do is we watch a movie that the other person forces them to watch. So a choice of mine that Christina has to watch and a choice of hers that I have to watch. And then we discuss their choices and what we've learned about the other person by their choices.
Would you say forced or gifted?
I guess that's up to the judge, really. I feel like there are some places where if you say, no, judge, it wasn't forced. I gifted her. you're still going to jail.
Gotcha.
By the way, we should mention that we are back at our sponsor, which is Gennaro's, Casa Gennaro, mm-hmm. Which, to tell you how much we love this place, when my wife and I got here, when I told her to get out her phone so that we can start doing the podcast, she went, oh, right, we're doing that. And she just thought we were out to dinner, right. And she was excited about the dinner, which I understand.
I'm just excited to eat without being interrupted by children.
But we are interrupted by a podcast, which is, it says something about our children that it doesn't feel like an interruption. So we have two movies that we chose to explore the other person. Christina chose for me the 1999 high school classic, 10 Things I Hate About You, which kind of, sort of, is a rhyme to Taming of the Shrew, which is the movie that, or the play that it's based on. And for my wife, I chose 1983's all-time comedy classic, the follow-up to Airplane, Top Secret, by the Zucker Brothers and Abrams. So, zazz.
So,
as they say.
You're welcome.
For your choice?
Yeah.
Well, let's jump into your choice. We'll do yours first, and then we'll come back to Top Secret. And I'll say this. I liked it.
Okay.
I remember seeing it in the theater, and I remember liking it more then.
Really?
Yeah, so in 99, I would have been 23 when it came out. So I think I was a little closer to high school. And I enjoyed it a lot. And it was at that time when there was a lot of, like, Shakespeare, like, remakes. There was, like, Remember O?
For Othello,
which I think got delayed by 9/11.
Really?
Yeah, I think they made it, and there was like a scene where he like kills some people at the basketball, something weird.
Right.
Maybe it was Columbine. It was some sort of thing where they felt
Columbine,
like,
would have been around that time.
Yeah, it was some, but there was a lot of like
Shakespeare in love.
Well, yeah, right, there, right? You could tell that there was a lot of pitches in Hollywood where people are coming in going, okay, it's Faust, but in high school, and everybody's going, it's Beowulf, but in middle school, you know, like all sorts of like,
right.
That was an easy pitch, much like in the early 90s, Die Hard on a was a thing, you know.
Do you really think they could do a Beowulf middle school style?
I see, you're intrigued, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm intrigued.
Yes.
I don't think you could do it.
What you do is you have the monster be a secretary,
Grendel.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, you have the kid in school who's a bully, okay, is Grendel. And then you have his mother, who's a secretary at the school, is Grendel's mother. Even scarier.
Ooh, okay.
Better than Angelina Jolie.
Maybe we shouldn't say this, because this might be a good pitch. You're
no,
ideas.
It is not one. It is 0% going to be taken by anybody. They actually said that is the number one rejected pitch in Hollywood.
Was Beowulf?
Beowulf, because every single newly graduated English major would come in and go like, hey, I got it. You know what's a great action movie? Grendel. And it's like, or Beowulf. It's like, no.
No, I actually did a semester of Beowulf in college.
Did you read it?
Yes, I did.
It's okay to admit that you didn't.
I did read that
because there's a lot of stuff from college. So my wife was an English major as well, and there's a lot of stuff where I'll go, well, like, surely you read this in college, and there'll be a long pause, and my wife will go, I was very cute.
No, I was very nice.
I got a lot of C's by just smiling.
That was snap. I read everything I was assigned to. I just didn't read as much as you did outside of the assignments.
Okay, so let's get to the movie. Here's what I'll say. There were... the biggest thing I noticed this time through was how almost out of place the camera movements were. And I mean that in a good way. There was a lot of, like, exciting movement of, like, the cameras kind of swirling around. They had this one scene that, pushed out from the outside of the house, like, very far away. Like, it looked like a crane scene. And then they just, like, pushed in all the way into Julia Stiles, like, on a hammock inside the house, like, looking out the window. And that's a tough, like, visual thing to pull off in a world where there isn't computers that make it easy. So the director was trying some stuff to sort of, like, elevate what would normally be just a high school movie. And even at the end, you know, like, they had the band playing their song on top of the school. And they're like whipping the camera by. It must have been on a either a small plane or a helicopter that they whipped it around. This is in the days before drones made that easy. Sure. To set that stuff up is expensive and difficult. So, like, I commend them for not just doing what a lot of high school movies does, which is like take the movie,
put someone hot in it.
Take a static camera and like turn it on and just go and make it look like a sitcom.
So you noticed that now, but you hadn't noticed that before.
I didn't notice that the first time through. So I commend them for that. I also commend them for their casting. Listen, I think Heath Ledger is dreamy. Okay, and you know I'm the most heterosexual man in the world.
The most, but he transcends that.
Before I got here, I was splitting logs without an axe. I was just ripping them apart like men do.
So hot.
And Heath Ledger was fantastic. The charisma is just like pouring off that guy. Julia Stiles, I've said this for years. I think she's held back by a lack of eyebrows. She's got those like wispy thin eyebrows, and it just makes her face look like not expression.
You think that's what's holding her back?
Yeah, I honestly think.
What has she been doing?
I hope going to L'Oreal and getting some stuff to put in her eyebrows to make them exist. Because every time I look at her, I'm like, the only thing I can think of is like she looks like an alien.
I never noticed her eyebrows.
Somebody should put eyebrows on her.
And the other great casting.
Yeah, there was Joseph Gordon-Levitt was in it. The elf from The Santa Claus was in it, who was like 46, playing a high school student. The comedian Kyle Cease, who I know from the college circuit, was in there as Bogey Lowenstein.
Name drop.
Yeah, no, I think...
You're gonna pick that up?
Here's what I'm going to tell you. It's not a name drop if you're the ninth billed character on a 1999 teen comedy. So I also very much... Oh, and Larry Miller, who's a fantastic comic, playing the dad. I also noticed that there was enough dialogue from the original Taming of the Shrew. It stood out in a way that wasn't natural, but I didn't mind it. You know, like the moments where Joseph Gordon-Levitt talking about Bianca, spoke in, the flourishes that he did.
You know, if you read young adult novels, which I do and enjoy, none of those kids speak like my students.
Yeah, I don't mind elevated speech. I never had. I think that, that's one of my reasons why I like Tarantino so much is that, no one talks like that. But why would I want to go to a movie and watch people talk like I do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I liked all of that. I would say that the politics of this movie would not work now. That, okay, so she's a riot girl, G-R-R-R-L, like feminist, right? But the message of this movie is that you might be a feminist, but if the guy's hot enough, you just want to be a girl like anybody else.
That is not the message.
Oh, no, it isn't? What's the message?
She rebuked him several times.
Yeah, but it wasn't the rebuke. You know, she was saying, yeah, no, I'm rebuking you. But that no does not mean no. Just keep pushing, fella.
It doesn't mean that. He was able to push through all of her hard exterior.
Right.
And
I would argue that movies nowadays, at least teen movies, that the politics of those movies would not be, hey, this hot guy keeps trying, even though you said no. I think this movie immediately turns into a hashtag Me Too movie if it's made today.
Okay, so, I understand how you're saying that doesn't last the test of time now, but
like, so for instance, he messes up and she's mad at him. Mm-hmm. And by the way he messed up was like, I didn't get it when she said, "Why do you want to go to prom so bad?" And he was like, "Ah, I just want to go to prom."
He was getting money.
But she didn't know that.
Right.
So why would she be so weirded out that he wants to go to prom so bad?
Because it's not in either of their scenes.
I guess so.
It wouldn't make sense for him to go nor her to go.
Yeah. By the way, I should probably tell you, if you don't know the movie, it's about Kat is a huge B word, but her sister's super hot, Bianca. And the dad has said no one can date Bianca until Kat goes on a date.
And I like the twist that he's a obstetrician.
Right.
And he's just worried about them getting pregnant all the time.
I'm eating.
And then he makes them wear the belly, mm-hmm. the fake pregnancy belly around the house to get used to it. So that's paid off nicely.
Right. But, I don't know. We'll cut this part out.
Okay. I don't know why you took it that giant, much of a bite.
I thought I could eat it quickly.
Uh-uh. Wow. Oh. Stop anyway.
We'll come. Actually, this is a good time to pause. We will come back after we eat our appetizers.
Thank you.
You want to stick up with
you? Oh, thank you.
Oh, nice. I appreciate it.
Me.
I just hit record. I was recording all of that.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
Our conversation.
Yeah.
Good when you have your usual dirty talks.
All right, I'll do a less loud.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
All right, let me try that. Still a little too loud. But we have to do it so I can sync sound.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're back. We just had our lovely appetizers.
I think we were talking about how hot Heath Ledger.
I think that we always talk about that. Mm-hmm. That's many families start a meal with a prayer. We start a meal. We start a meal talking about how hot Heath Ledger is, because we like to give thanks to him. Okay. Thank you so much. It was delicious.
I would like to say how hot my food was.
I had the coconut shrimp, which is like an island treat. I do wonder if I ever get caught on a desert island, mm-hmm. if I'll have the wherewithal to make coconut shrimp.
You won't.
Maybe. You know, if I've got nothing to do, what would I focus on?
Survival?
Do you think Tom Hanks ever had sex with Wilson? I think he did. I think it's almost 100% that Castaway.
No, there's other coconuts. You can bang another one and tell Wilson about it.
Do you think?
Oh, it's a volleyball, right?
Right.
Oh, he could use a coconut, and then he could tell Wilson.
Do you think he makes Wilson watch? And like, it just, we just pan over, and it's like Wilson's face, like just like. All right. So, we were talking about 10 Things I Hate About You at the lovely Gennaro's restaurant, Casa Gennaro, which you need to check the links below to check out this place. It's wonderful. 10 Things I Hate About You, I guess there is this, like, we grew up with it, so it doesn't offend me. It's just something I notice, which is this idea that, like, even the feminist girl wants the good-looking dude to show her attention. And I think that movies nowadays wouldn't make that the focus of the movie.
But is that reality?
I don't think it's reality. It's just, like, the reality of the politics of the show. Like, it reminded me a little bit of Sex and the City with Big. You know, that Carrie's whole life is sort of built around, like, she's, you know, a feminist, she's on her own, she cares about her friends, but at the end of the day, the story is about her and Big. And I think that, like, if you were to remake Sex and the City
Wait,
right now...
Hold up, did you watch Sex and the City?
I caught enough of it to know what was going on.
I You were together during that time, weren't we?
I'm sure that I saw it when you had it on, and I'm sure it was on when I flipped around. I was not a fan of the show, but
you seem to know an awful lot of details.
I can put stuff together.
Do you think you're more of a Carrie or more of a...
I'm a Samantha.
Okay.
No. I'm a... who's the redheaded girl? The tall, goofy-looking one. She ran for mayor.
Yeah.
Or governor.
And Charlotte. Charlotte's the other one.
Yeah, I'm a girl who thinks that she's a Samantha, but really, I'm the tall, goofy-looking one.
Okay.
Sorry, by the way, if you're listening, tall, goofy-looking woman from whatever your name is. I don't know, but like if I was writing this movie or if I was like producing this movie, I feel like that would be a concern of mine. I also thought some of the humor was a little not like, I didn't, Miss Perky, one played by, what's her name? The girl from West Wing who's now an Oscar winner.
You mean the office lady?
Yeah.
Or the principal? You said her name a thousand times.
Ileana Douglas?
No. Yes, it's J something.
Anyhow, she's on Mom. She was like writing a romance novel, like that was her thing.
Uh-huh.
And it only showed up like three times in the beginning because they only had her for a day, it looked
right.
And it didn't fit. Like, why? You know, it seemed like a bit of absurdist humor that didn't work for me.
I think they just wanted to, try to really pull people in by the cast.
Well, no, I understand that. It was just, I just felt like that, him on the bicycle,
mm-hmm.
Jane Seymour? No. Jane Krakowski? No.
No. Seymour's the doctor,
Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman?
Yeah. Did you watch that show, too?
I didn't watch that show.
Oh, my God, I watched it all the time. Go ahead.
I was not into that show. I was like, I don't know what's going on, but if I'm on the frontier and Dr. Quinn shows up, I'm like, can I wait for a dude? By the way, me on the frontier, very sexist.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, also not surviving. But.
Right. The best friend character, the goofy dude, like, he gets into like a motorcycle or a motor scooter issue and he like falls to the ground.
Okay.
And it just didn't fit, no reason for it, didn't play anything. It was just like a goofy thing that I guess the mid-90s or the late 90s had these sort of like asides, but it just didn't work for me. I don't think it would be in a movie now. I also think that the centerpiece of Heath Ledger wooing Julia Stiles, paying the band to play Can't Take My Eyes Off of You while he sings to her at soccer practice. I've said for years, there should be a disclaimer that runs that says, hey, nerd who's watching this, you think that this is going to work for you. It will not. Do you look like Heath Ledger? You don't? Then don't do this. When Heath Ledger does it, it's like, oh, hee. If I were to do it in high school, I would be in jail.
I would be so happy to do that for
you. If I did it in high school, like you're just playing soccer, and all of a sudden, can't take my eyes off of you.
I would absolutely love it.
You would, your dad would show up at my house and beat me to death. Leave my daughter alone.
I remember when I first saw that scene, being like, oh,
right, because it's Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger could show up with a bag of flaming crap and throw it at her, and she'd be like, oh, you're so bad.
You know what? This movie made me sad because of Heath Ledger. Because he was such a good talent, he mm-hmm. really started to take off and, dying so young. I also thought it was funny, not funny, but interesting how when he died, I didn't think he was that old.
Mm.
Because we were only like 20, he was 28, we were 29, 30. And now I'm like, wow, 28? So, seriously.
He had a good run.
No, it made me sad to see that he was, even in this cheesy...
Yeah.
High school movie. He was great.
He had the ineffable quality of movie star charisma.
Oh, yes.
That Annabelle did not find him attractive.
Really?
Remember, she was talking like, I don't think he's that good looking, but I get.
Okay.
I get it. You know, like he's a movie star, and being a movie star is, I would love for an AI to one day break down mm-hmm. all the characteristics that it takes, like, Brad Pitt is a movie star. George Clooney is a movie star. Timothy Oliphant, not a movie star.
Do you think it's
Timothy Oliphant's in movies?
Are you talking about somebody who's a considered a hot movie star as opposed to just a good actor?
Well,
or?
So remember Smallville?
Mm-hmm.
Tom Welling.
Yes.
Tom Welling is a beautiful man.
Beautiful.
Right? Not a movie star.
Nah.
There's nothing about him where you go, oh my God, I need to pay attention to this person. Now, Jack Nicholson isn't a good-looking dude.
Okay.
But if you put Jack Nicholson at 50 next to Tom Welling at, you know, the height of his hotness at 25, Jack Nicholson is going to leap off the screen and you're going to, like, want to see more of him.
But how can AI figure out acting ability?
But I don't think it's acting. It's because movie stars wind up just playing themselves. Like, Jack Nicholson doesn't play characters. He's just himself in every movie.
So what about women? Like, Margot Robbie?
I don't think about them. They're just objects to me, honey. I can't take my eyes off of you.
You better start with that.
So, no, I think that there's something to that. I mean, like, why are no Playboy models, you know, in movies? You know, like, it's, believe me, I'm an actor. I've acted. It's not hard to act. You just say the words like they were written. It's not hard to do.
Okay.
But, like, to be a star is an ineffable quality, and Heath Ledger has it, and I would love... Because you can kind of point to, like, there's, you know, there's a certain way they carry themselves. There's a certain way that they're confident.
Your eyes go right to them.
Right.
In the crowded room.
But I would just love there to be a study as to what charisma is.
Interesting.
Because there's, like, you know, Ted Cruz is, you know, went to the same colleges as Obama and was presumably as smart as Obama. But every time Obama speaks, I want to get up and cheer my country. And every time Ted Cruz speaks, I want to break a bottle over his head. So, like, and it's not just the differences in ideology. I mean, George W. Bush had charisma.
Mm.
Trump, for whatever his other issues are, has charisma.
Clinton.
And Clinton, so much charisma that it didn't matter what... I mean, he was the Heath Ledger of his time. He was a, you know... So
Reagan, so much charisma that he became president from an actor.
So you just look at this and you go, wow, this is a movie star. I'll say this, I thought it was an enjoyable enough movie.
Okay,
it was kind of a big meh when all said and done. Like we bought it in order to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'll ever revisit it. The movie that we're going to talk about next, my movie, I will rewatch that 10 more times. This particular movie, I've seen it twice now. It's in my head. I don't need to ever see it again. I'm good. I won't be studying this one.
I have to say that what I kind of enjoy about 10 Things I Hate About You is that it's very black and white, and a lot of movies now aren't. Mm-hmm. So, you want to
say,
thank you so much. You are. Well, that's awesome.
I can't wait to eat this, but before we do it, let's get your final thoughts so we can do that.
I like, this movie's kind of black and white. There is good, there is bad. You know, that the actor who is the model is awful. There's no redeeming qualities. Movies now are so complex that you see his backstory and you understand his backstory. It's just, here's good, here's bad. Boy, you know, boy gets girl, done.
And you like the simplicity of that.
Sometimes I do. I just like kind of relaxing into a movie and not thinking, okay, well, you know, this could be great. Now, to segue, that's kind of what I like about your movie.
What? Oh, let's get into that in the next segment. Right now, Christina, what did you order?
Something with shrimp and scallops and linguine.
Ooh, and I ordered the filet of sole. Which there was a couple of times in my life where my actual soul has been filleted, but now I just get to eat this with my best friend.
Aw, thanks, baby.
Oh, I was talking about Gennaro. I love that guy.
Oh, he is great.
Yeah, he's great.
I consider him very charismatic.
All right, well, we're going to sign off real fast, and we'll come back in just a bit. And we are back from the main course. I had the filet of sole, and Christina, what did you have?
It was something with shrimps and scallops and linguine and corn and asparagus, and it was amazing.
And the food was great, and I'll say this, one of the best parts about eating here is Gennaro came over and told us some wonderful stories.
Yeah.
And he was just the smoothest, slickest, nicest guy.
Yes.
It's so much fun. It really does feel like we're in an intimate little place in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
But back to movie and a dinner, our next film is the Zucker Abrams Zucker, one of the Zazz classics from 1983, starring, we talk about young hotness, Val Kilmer.
Yes, I feel like a lot of our things lately, you also have a show on X19.
Yes.
That we're talking about how good looking Val Kilmer is. And then we saw Top Gun.
Mm-hmm.
We were once again talking about Val Kilmer. What was the other one?
Willow.
Willow, Top Gun, and now this
Top
movie.
Secret.
He was very, very good looking.
Really? This is the youngest one of him. This is him in his first starring role.
Okay.
And did it work on you, honey?
I would say that movie star thing we're talking about, you get it with him.
Yeah. He's one of the lesser Batmen, but one of the top Zazz actors.
There you go. What does Zazz mean?
Zazz. Zucker Abrams Zucker. The Zucker brothers and Jerry Abrams made these movies, and they called their company Zazz.
Mm-hmm.
Zucker. So Zazz movies like Airplane, Top Secret, and also Police Squad and The Naked Gun.
Oh.
So they're all of a piece.
Gotcha.
And man, oh man, do I miss movies like this.
Yeah.
All right, so I talked a lot during 10 Things I Hate About You. One of the criticisms that we get on the show is that I do most of the talking. I'm going to do my best.
No, what you usually do is tell me to start talking, then you interrupt me and tell me how I'm wrong.
Okay. I'm going to tell you why that's not correct. All right, so tell me, honey, what did you think of Top Secret?
Top Secret was not even on my radar. I'd never even heard of it. And you were shocked.
Shocked. And appalled.
And appalled. It was... I enjoyed it. Very much so.
You're welcome.
I don't think I would watch it again. Like,
hold on. Let me drink this so I can spit it out.
What I liked is what I liked about, honestly, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Right.
Which is that it was so light.
Right.
And I do love how there were so many jokes per minute.
Oh, it's just rat-a-tat-tat.
Yeah.
It's like watching an expert work a speed bag.
And none of it was serious. Not one bit. Like, even if they tried to get serious, they had to break it up.
Right.
I loved Val Kilmer every time he sang and danced.
Right.
I did love the... A lot of times, like, remember when he went through the barbed wire and he looks at the shoes?
Right.
And you... It's a trope. You're going to look up and the pans, the camera's going to pan up. And you're going to see... you're going to see, you know, some guy standing there. And you don't. They played with a lot of those conventions. Now, mm-hmm. I saw Casablanca because of this. So I was able to identify that. I didn't identify all the other movies that they were kind of spoofing off of.
Yeah, so it was a make-off of spy movies from the 40s and 50s and also Elvis movies from the 60s and 70s, which is a subgenre all to itself. It was basically Elvis, who was a terrible actor, played Elvis, and it was like, okay, now Elvis is a race car driver, and every once in a while, Elvis is going to find an excuse to sing in this race car movie. None of it makes sense, and it's all terrible. So Nick Rivers is the Elvis character in this, where they are going to East Germany for a cultural festival, and he gets caught up in the East German resistance.
They just killed off his manager?
They just killed him off, okay. With the anal intruder.
Okay.
They took him an hour just to get the smile off his face.
See, I didn't understand that. I thought it was to help him with his wife. How did that help him with his wife?
He was trying it out in the hotel room.
Ew.
On himself.
Okay.
And listen, don't think too much. Like, you kept asking about, like, plot holes and, like, wait, why would he do that? And it's like, it is a completely ridiculous movie.
Right.
Played completely straight by the people in it, which is the thing that you...
Wonderful.
Like, all those terrible movies in the 90s, like Date Movie and Epic Movie and, you know, those terrible, terrible movies, they forget the most important part, which is, first off, the gags have to be good, but the actors have to not be in on it.
They have to commit that this is my role and this is serious for me.
Which is why Leslie Nielsen was the ultimate... Zazz actor who played everything as if he was in an action movie.
He's an airplane, correct?
He was an airplane, and he was Frank Drebin, Lieutenant Frank Drebin from Naked Gun.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What is this, a bust? Yes, ma'am, very impressive.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. Like I said, I don't think I would see it again. I love seeing Val Kilmer, and I also really, I'm kind of thinking of Princess Bride with the guy that came back for her, that she was on an island with that man.
Oh, right. He looked into your
Sergei?
Mind.
Sergo? Something, I forget his name. But so the plot is that...
He's the bad guy. Spoiler.
He's the bad guy. But they were on a desert island together. He got picked up by a ship.
Right.
somehow and she didn't, and he couldn't go back for her, and it reminded me of Princess Bride, like when he was on the pirate ship and then came back.
Gotcha.
But he was once again obvious bad guy, obvious good guy.
So you liked the simplicity of it.
I did. I wasn't confused. A lot of your movies I spend a good amount just confused.
I wanted to choose something a little lighter this time.
And it was just like, oh, that's enjoyable. Oh, this is going to be okay. Oh, at the end, everything will work out. Of course they'll get on that plane. It'll be like Casablanca.
By the way, the next movie I might choose is Fellini's 8.5. Just to see what happens. Maybe The Bicycle Thief. Maybe Truffaut's 400 Blows.
You know what? I can match you, so go ahead, Jack.
What's that?
I can match you with something
equally as damaging to my psyche.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you liked it, but you probably wouldn't watch it again.
I thought the gags were great.
Would you suggest other people give it a try?
You know what? I think it was a titch bit long.
What?
Yeah.
Well, you watched it over the course of like 9 days.
That's true. I can't watch movies as easily as you because, you know.
You care about our children. I get it. Some of us have proper priorities. Some of us are the woman in the family. But yeah, so it... okay, so I'll take that.
Okay. But thank you for a movie where I could just
turn your mind.
Yep, I like that.
Okay, so I'll start. Here's what I learned about you. These are the 10 things... I learned.
Did you prepare 10 things?
No.
Because you didn't even write your own vows.
Did I write my own vows?
No, you didn't. You didn't write your own vows. I'm saying I'd be shocked if you prepared 10 things that you hate about me. Oh, no.
That I could do off the top of my head. Hold on one second.
No.
I have a couple of poems prepared.
But I'm getting confused because the end it was.
So I'm going to...
I hate that I don't hate you.
Yeah, I'm going to take a left-hand turn into your version of feminism, which I think lines up nicely with this movie, which is you are a girl who can take care of herself and doesn't necessarily need a man, but if one's handy, why not? I don't think...
Make him work a little bit and he gets through that bitch, you know, exterior.
Yeah, you are very bitchy, and you were very bitchy when I met you,
mm-hmm.
and you were very bitchy for the first 2 to 3 months that we were dating, and then I got to your soft, juicy core, and... yeah, gross. And then you were sweet, mm-hmm. at that point. You know, you had the black panties somewhere in the house, which is from the movie.
Right.
I guess what I'm saying is I'm your Heath Ledger, and I get that.
You're my Heath Ledger, baby.
Yeah, and the you're a hotter Julia Stiles.
You like my eyebrows better?
Because you have eyebrows. So I think that this movie actually lines up with your what you've expressed about womanhood, which is you don't understand why you can't use your sexuality to get men to do stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a puddle and someone wants to throw their shirt down,
yeah,
go for it.
I think that that's...
I can jump over it, but if you're going to do it, then sure.
And I do think that that 90s Gen X style of feminism... is what we grew up with, what we're comfortable with, and I'm sure that our children will yell at us at the Thanksgiving table.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that will be mad at my...
Yeah.
A lot of feminists that will be mad at me.
I don't think Annabelle will mind. Uh-uh. I think our daughter Annabelle will be like the other way.
She'll be like me.
She's going to want guys to show up with straw boaters playing a ukulele.
With what?
Straw boaters. It's like the hats from the 1920s. I live in a different world than you, don't I?
That they do in Venice?
Yeah, well, okay. Kind of.
Like
yeah.
Gondoliers or...
Gondoliers, yes. So that's what I learned about you, Christina Black, that you are a riot girl.
I'm not a riot girl. Okay, first of all, I understand what you're saying, but those concerts, they not look awful?
Oh, God, they look so smelly.
Oh.
You know my skill is being able to tell when things are smelly.
That is your magic power.
And when I saw that, I was like, oh, that dance floor smells ridiculously bad.
Yeah, you ruined a lot of things for me because I love the Outlanders. And
oh, yeah.
I can't help but think how much they smell.
Yeah, it's my talent. You could line up a group of people. It does not matter race, creed, color, religious affiliation, gender, like if they're trans, if they're gay, if they're whatever. I can tell you if they smell. That's all I know.
Would you have to have them talk first? Or nope. Can you just...
I just look around and know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Let's order our dessert on air.
Okay.
All right. Are you going to take the thing that I told you to get, honey?
This thing? You're getting that thing. I'm getting this thing.
No, I thought you were going to go panna cotta. That was what you were going to do.
I'm going to do the frozen chocolate.
Boo.
And then I thought you were going to get the vanilla.
No, I'm doing the cannoli. I said.
So boring.
Could I have a cannoli, please, and a cappuccino? Okay. But I'll say it Italian style. Cappuccino.
Exactly. Good job, baby. Yeah. Say cannoli.
Cannoli. No.
For you? Can I have the chocolate truffle? And then...
Tartufo?
Yes. Tartufo?
Tartufo. Okay.
And then can I get a decaf espresso?
Boo.
I'll be up all night, man. Thank you.
Yeah, no.
Thank you.
You're affected by caffeine. My pleasure centers are completely fried from a life of bad living.
So why not just do decaf? Forget it. We'll talk about this later on my home. What did I learn about you?
Yes, the only part that I care about. But real fast, I got to say that my daughter is so much me. She got home from school, and she was frustrated. She was like, nobody asked me what I'm going to be for Halloween. And I was like, well, why would anybody ask you why you'd be for Halloween? And she was like, well, I'd ask them what they wanted to be for Halloween. And I'll be honest, I didn't care. I just wanted them to ask me what I was going to be for Halloween. And I asked them. They didn't ask me back. How rude. And she said it with enough smile that I know she knows what she's doing. Mm-hmm. She's so much me. I know what I'm doing, but I also am doing it kind of unironically as well.
Yes, you also want the attention.
Yeah, I've given her some of my worst traits. Luckily, however, she looks like you, so she gets away with it with no issue.
I think she looks like you.
Well, she's got my eyes.
She's a mix of us.
Yes.
But she is, she's good with it.
She's a devious little narcissist.
So I think Penrose, the third one, will be the feminist.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be, I don't need a man. And
which is good because we need her to,
She's got to be successful so that we can go to a nice nursing home.
Right. No, take us in.
She'll
take me in.
No, she's a nursing home girl. She's definitely going to, she's going to have one of her secretaries assign us to a nursing home.
The nicest possible.
Yeah, and it'll be a nice one if we treat her right.
Okay,
so the most important part of the show, what did you learn about me? Let me sit back, relax, and listen.
No, actually, I have to say that I learned that you can be, and I know you can be goofy, but that you can enjoy a movie with no substance.
Right, yeah.
Well, and honey, everything you've given me has to have like a deeper meaning, and you have to talk about, like, you have to dissect everything and say, like, oh my gosh, this is because of World War II, and then this is because of they're trying to see the lives of people. Everything is so serious.
Right.
And it's frustrating sometimes. It's nice that there's still that goofy part of you, kind of runs with your dad,
right,
actually a lot, that you can just watch something, laugh your beautiful laugh, and enjoy it. And it's nice that I can still see that kid in there sometimes just saying, oh, I like it because it's just hilarious.
Right, yeah.
It makes no sense, but it's hilarious. So I learned that you still have that beautiful, adorable piece in you.
It has not been killed, despite my best efforts.
I know.
All right, guys, this has been Movie and a Dinner, live Movie via tape, dessert, here at the lovely Casa Gennaro. Mm-hmm. And if you have any time in your life and you want to enjoy life a little bit more, mm-hmm, come on out. Order the filet of sole, like I did. Think about a movie that you liked when you were younger and have some joy injected into your butthole.
How?
Well, through a needle. You know, that's how
I... That's not a good ringing endorsement.
It's because it's joy.
You don't even taste it that way.
You put it... No, so I was making a metaphor where you put the joy into a syringe.
Okay.
And then you take the syringe and you jam
it. You're talking about eating.
You jam it into your butthole.
You're talking about eating. It's not a good metaphor.
I just wanted to say butthole.
Okay.
Does there have to be a deeper meaning all the time with you? Guys,
I just screamed butthole.
Thank you so much for joining us. And I hope you'll join us again next month when we do another Movie and Dinner.
The Speaking Podcast, brought to you by our friends at House of Cupcakes, serving you in Princeton, East Brunswick, Clifton, and Saudi Arabia. The winner of Cupcake Wars offers 35 different flavors, perfect for a special occasion or just a sweet treat. Houseofcupcakes.com. The Speaking Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Flemington Car and Truck Country, 16 brands of cars and trucks. I'm a loyal customer buying my last two trucks there and can tell you no one beats the deals or offers better service. Visit Flemington.com. The Speaking Podcast, brought to you by our friends at Casa Gennaro's on Route 27 in Kingston. Call 609-683-1212 for reservations. They're open for dinner every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Ask for my favorite special, the Veal Spadia, best Italian food in Jersey.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.